I don't know if Jill's going to join us. I didn't hear from her.
Okay, yeah, let's get started. Call the meeting to order at 8:32 a.m. Roll call. Looks like we have Zach Yenser, Lorene Blakemore, and then from staff we have Tom, JR, and Erica. Call to the audience. I don't see any. Administrator's report. Take it away, Tom.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Zach, and good morning, everybody. On-street parking meter status report, we're climbing a little bit, unfortunately. 206 meters showing out of service this morning. We get a report every morning on that. Spoke with our supervisor. They're going to step up a little bit more hours focused on the meters. We are waiting on an order of batteries. They have been ordered. We're just waiting for them to arrive. When those 300 batteries come in, I think we'll get close to 100%, hopefully, working. But we're dealing with the typical damages. The other day I saw a picture of one of our parking meters that was set on fire. I guess the trick is you put a bag over it and you light it on fire, and some singed damage was observed on that. So we're going to take care of that. And, we do encounter damage from time to time, whether it's from a vehicle accident or vandalism. We try to stay on top of it as much as we can. An interesting thing that we're partnering with City High School on Pennington here, just a little west of our location. City High School reached out to us for their community day. That's on the 19th. And they were looking for projects that two groups of students can participate in. And they initially wanted to help clean up our parking garages, pick up trash and whatnot. We thought that was probably a little dangerous, but we still wanted to help them. So the project we came up with was using these alcohol cleaning cards to clean the credit card slots of our parking meters. So we do that ourselves from time to time, but we wanted to help them out with a project. So we're getting 24 students on the 19th to spread out throughout downtown and even as far as potentially 4th Avenue and University to clean our credit card slots in our meters. So we're going to make sure that's safe, giving the children gloves and teaching them how to do that properly. So part of the maintenance will be taken care of by City High School students. So that's the meter status report. I'll take any questions.
Just a comment. That's really cool.
Yeah, Jessica, the principal, I've actually established a relationship with her regarding kind of nuisance students that have been trespassing in the Pennington garage. And it turns out it wasn't City High School students, or I was blaming her. They ended up being Tucson High School students. And we've actually stepped up our patrols at specific times, right around 3:30. We do a little extra security patrols. The police have been helping. But that's where we started the relationship. And then she asked about participating in this community day, and we came up with this idea. So, yeah, I agree. It's pretty cool. And we'll let the kids participate and feel a sense of, participating in making things better and cleaner around here. So, pretty good. All right, with no other questions there, I wanted to show you a parking violation citation trends report. JR pulled this report. It's the last 6 months worth of data. And we wanted just to take a snapshot and look at the type of violations that are trending right now. And we take a look at this every so often and plan to review this with our team to make sure that we're focusing on our core missions. Because sometimes, we can get a little off track. So there's two things I wanted to show you. One is the citations by area. So you can see downtown has the most citations. That is our core area, followed by Main Gate, West University, Armory Park, 4th Avenue, and then continuing down the list. But this definitely makes sense. These areas that have the most violations have parking meters in their areas. There's also permit programs such as West University for residential. There's non-residential included in here. Armory Park, not only do they have meters in residential, but they have meter exemption permits in that area. So just a quick snapshot of the type of, well, the areas that are seeing the most activity. And, you know, we do have our boundaries of Park Tucson, a geographical boundary that we stay within unless we get out-of-area calls. That out-of-area is outside of our box, and you'll see we have plenty of those as well. So, of course, we go throughout the whole city of Tucson city limits for calls, but 665 out-of-area calls in the last 6 months. Those do take a little extra time. We have to drive out and take care of those. So these are the areas that are seeing the most activity. And then wanted to show the type of violations that we're seeing here. And you can see the graph here. What stands out, and I'll move over to the actual list of the descriptions. But expired meters are the big one, over 4,000 expired meter violations. Expired registration is follows that. Typically what we like to do, we only issue that ticket if it's coupled with another violation. We're not out there looking for expired registration. Looks like we have to refocus on or remind with our team about that. Residential parking permits, 1,300. We definitely like to see that, you know, the residents are paying for these permit programs, and our attention is needed in those areas. So it's good to see that. Parallel parking. I forgot to put in here the description, or wrong way parking. If a vehicle's parked the opposite direction on a curb, that's included here, and 18 inches from the curb. So over 1,200 of those. Parking on private property. No parking signs, loading zone violations, and ADA parking violations are big as well. So just want to give you a sample of the type of violations that we're seeing and the trends there. So, Lorraine.
Yes, on the last chart, I just wanted to clarify, what's the difference between the 4th Avenue area and the 4th Avenue meters? Is that...
I see what you're saying. There's 4th Avenue area and 4th Avenue meters. JR, could you clarify that?
Yeah, so the 4th Avenue area is going to be any permit locations that are around 4th Avenue, whereas the 4th Avenue meters are specific meter and student commuter violations.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jer. Any questions? All right, thank you. Yeah, we're going to review this with our team and talk about this and make sure that we're focusing on the right areas. And anytime this committee or the commission wants us to, you know, bring focus to certain areas, we can definitely consider that as well. All right. Let's see. The next update is the Park Tucson staffing levels. We currently have 6 openings. As I described last month, we reallocated all of our PSA-1 positions to PSA-2 positions. So we're hiring PSA-2s going forward until further notice. We have a higher starting hourly wage for those positions. And we've set up the timeline with our HR department. We should be hiring in March. Looks like our interviews are scheduled for around March 13th. The position is currently open. We're accepting applications through next Friday, I believe, the Friday from today, so the 21st. So we already have some trickling in, and we're hoping to hire 3 in March, quickly followed by another round of hiring an additional 3. We are slightly restricted with how many we can bring on at one time due to the amount of approved trainers that we have on staff. You'll see what ends up happening is you'll see maybe 2 or 3 parking service agents walking around together, and that is the training. That's what's happening with the training. We do sometimes get comments or complaints or questions from the constituents saying, how come you guys are traveling around in packs? And we typically don't do that. It's during training that occurs. So, hiring an additional three in March. And we'll take any questions about the staffing. All right, hearing none. Special events, upcoming special events. I wanted to focus in on one particular special event, and that is the Tucson Bicycle Classic. I'm going to share my screen. And here is their webpage for the Tucson Bicycle Classic. Our special events review committee met about this. Park Tucson has been highly involved through our special events coordinator, Joshua Rothschild, and the organizer for this event. Very interesting event, first time here, I believe. And they're describing this type of race, and it's spread over 3 days, but we're really focusing on the 21st, which is a race that takes place in the downtown area, and I'll show you the map in a moment. But they describe this as NASCAR on bikes. And there is a, I want to try to share a video here to show what type of activity we're going to see here. There's a downtown course, and it's a very fast, competitive bike race. These are professional bicyclists. This is kind of what they envisioned here downtown. They set up barriers. They're going to be racing on the streets, and it's highly competitive, and it's quite exciting from what we understand. So it's not a long course. It's a short course, and I'm going to try to pull up the course here. Find it. We do have a map. Here it is. So you'll see the start finish line is on Cushing Street, side street of Mayer, just south of the Tucson Convention Center. It's approximately a 1 mile course that goes east on Cushing, up Stone, makes a right on McCormick, down Scott, back to Cushing. And this is taking place Friday evening, February 21st. So part of the race will be run under lights. So quite the spectacle. And what we've done with the organizer, the organizer requested that no vehicles are parked on the course at all. That's one of their rules. That's one of their criteria. We are going to, Park Tucson is going to begin hooding meters and placing restrictions on the course as early as Tuesday next week, I believe, JR. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that correct? Tuesday?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. And what we asked the organizer to do is to make the residents and neighbors aware of this, and the organizer has been very forthcoming and very proactive, making notifications. They've contacted all the businesses and neighbors. We are a little concerned, you know, around the Scott McCormick area, because we have meters here, we have permit programs, but they've done all the outreach to make sure people know this is coming up. The organizer is also contracted with a tow truck company, and the organizer would be responsible for removing any vehicles on the course. And there's a relocation area. Here it is. JR, I think this is still in effect. We're going to hood meters just on the east side of the TCC. To have a relocation zone for parked cars. So if there are vehicles that are towed, they will be moved very close by. And there'll be an area where we can direct people to where their cars can move. I personally don't think, but I hope there's not going to be any tows because there's so much outreach going out to the neighbors and with the meters being reserved and signage and whatnot. Hopefully there's not going to be too many vehicles towed here. So, JR, is there anything I'm leaving out in terms of our preparation or anything that we might see as an issue popping up?
No, that's good.
Okay. Yeah, we're just basically taking care of the meters and ensuring they have a safe race course. And there are a couple of days after this with races taking place in other parts of the area. So that's the main special event I wanted to share with the group. And we'll take any questions.
I just wondered where the other races are happening. Are they outside of the downtown or up the mountain? What's happening?
Yeah, I think they're outside of downtown. Let me see race details. Let's see. Race locations and the tech guide. It's the website's referring me to the tech guide. I want to say that there's actually a race in Marana in that area. I don't have that exact information, Maureen, but I can find out.
That's okay. I can look. I was just interested for myself.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And as everyone knows, Tucson is such a bike friendly town, and you know there's the Tour de Tucson, which is a much longer course. I think that's around 50 miles, where the one downtown here is going to be 1 mile. But I do see here information about a road race, so that sounds like it's a long distance race as well. But I'm gonna find out some more information about that. Great, thank you guys.
Awesome. If you want to. The next item's food trucks / peddlers update.
Yes. So the Department of Transportation and PDSD, which includes zoning and code enforcement, met recently. We finally had our internal meeting this week. What we're planning is two meetings. The first one was just under the director level to make sure that we have all of our ducks in a row regarding this topic. And then we're going to follow this up with a meeting involving a director level leadership with PDSD and DTM. And just to recap, the issues that come up from the peddlers and food trucks have to do with the brick and mortar businesses and the setup of peddlers and food trucks near their businesses. So. I'll start with the good news and what we came to the conclusion of, and that is that code enforcement is the main player from the city regarding this topic. And the code enforcement supervisor agrees and feels that additional recurring code enforcement during the evening and weekends is necessary and will be done. The supervisor did mention that she just wants to get confirmation from her director level leadership to schedule hours to spread out their code enforcement staff and allocate them to the downtown area, weekends and evenings for this topic. They're envisioning a monthly visit, if not more. And what they're going to be looking for is permits. That's the main thing they're going to look for is permits. And the city requires a peddler's license and a Pima health code permit. And I just wanted to show you what a little bit of that information looks like here. Let's see if I can get it. Sorry, guys. A peddler's application. Here's what the City of Tucson peddler license packet looks like. This is 15 pages long, but it does lay out rules and areas that they have to be cognizant of. So downtown 4th Avenue is where this these general regulations apply. There is a cost here. And it goes through all the different requirements for site location plans. There's special exception processes. It does refer the applicant to Pima County Health Department to receive a permit. And this is what some of the application looks like. Business license. We do ask that they indicate on a map where they're going to be located. And I'm sorry, it's actually only half that. The second half is in Spanish. And then property owners also have to give permission via writing if these peddlers are setting up on their property. The other part of this is state regulations, and I just wanted to read off some of the state regulations that actually restrict what the city can and can't do. So I wanted to pull these up so we can see them. Let me see if I can do that really quickly. I apologize. Bear with me here. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not finding this, but I'm gonna read a few. So, Arizona state regulations really prohibit the city from doing a whole lot. So, in relation to a mobile food vendor, a city or town may not require a mobile food vendor, property owner, or lessee of a property to apply for and receive any special permit that is not required for other temporary mobile vending businesses in the same zoning district. So we can't really single them out too much beyond other business types. A city or town may not require a mobile food vendor or mobile food unit to operate a specific distance from a perimeter of an existing commercial establishment or restaurant, except as required by applicable building, fire, street, and sidewalk codes. So in that application, what you saw in terms of distances, that's what it's referring to. It's all about safety codes. So that's building, fire, street, obstructions, things that are already listed in, you know, safety-related fire codes and whatnot. A city or town may not prohibit a mobile food vendor from using any legal parking space, including meter parking, except to restrict the number of spaces, vehicle size, and parking duration. And I'm just going to stop there and talk about what Park Tucson does in terms of our approvals for food trucks. As you can imagine, Park Tucson does not have jurisdiction over the sidewalks. We're in the streets. So we treat these vehicles as such, their vehicles. So if they're parking legally and abiding by the parking rules, we have to let them park there. So if they're paying for a meter or if they're in a unrestricted parking area, they're allowed to park and operate. As far as meter reservations or loading zone reservations, we do accept those for food trucks. We review those on a case-by-case basis. We have our own rules about reserving areas with Park Tucson for food trucks. So that includes we don't allow them to reserve meters on 4th Avenue or on University. We don't reserve on Congress or around the intersection of Toole and Congress, kind of in the area of Hotel Congress, because it's just too congested there. There's also on the weekends, the police set up there, kind of a mobile command post with a do not enter sign on near the end of tool. And we basically look at these on a case by case basis, and if we feel there's a conflict with a neighboring business, we just won't approve it. That doesn't stop that food truck from parking at a meter legally. So I just want to keep that in mind. We also only reserve one food truck per block at any one time. Oh, excuse me, one second. Stand by. Zach, I was just made aware that Zach Yenser left the meeting, and therefore I don't think we have a quorum anymore, because on our, we have five folks listed as part of the committee, three of them were present, and now we only have two present.
Gotcha. So do we stop the meeting, or what's the rule?
So I think what the guidance is that we stop the meeting officially, and we basically adjourn, but I'm perfectly comfortable continuing with updates unofficially, on record.
Okay, yeah, and then I think, like, we can't make any, not that we usually do in this committee, but, like, we can't conduct any, like, business, correct, like, motions and all that. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. This is relevant to me, the food trucks and peddlers.
Okay, yeah, if you want to introduce a motion to adjourn.
Okay, absolutely. We will adjourn at 8:57. Is that when he left? Somewhere around there.
Yes.
Zach Yenser, because we don't have a quorum.
Second.
Thank you, guys.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, great.
And thank you to my staff for noticing that. I acknowledge that Zach had to step away around 9 o'clock in the chat. He did mention that. And I didn't think about losing a quorum at that point. So, all right. Just continuing, if we can, for the food trucks and peddlers, what Park Tucson looks at on a case-by-case basis is a block, whether we're going to cause an issue with the food trucks or not. And, you know, basically at the end of the day, here at the end of this meeting, we came to the realization that these peddlers are operating on the sidewalks in more and more instances because of a lack of enforcement, we believe, or not because of lack of enforcement, but the lack of enforcement is not matching the level of activity. We have received complaints, and they've been shared with our zoning administrator and supervisor regarding things like table and chairs set up on sidewalks, or music, speakers, generators, wires being or cables being strewn across sidewalks, and those are exactly what code enforcement's there to make sure is not happening. So code enforcement is well aware of the situation. They're going to instruct their team to look out for that and check for permits. They did remind us that they did do a one-time visit a few months ago and issued several citations as a result of that. But it didn't really follow up with, you know, recurring or scheduled enforcement. But the good news is that they are on board. They're just going to verify with their executives. But they seem very confident that they'll be able to do recurring monthly visits on the weekends and evenings for this. So hopefully that helps address the situation. But Zach, I'm not sure if there's more specific items or specific things you wanted us to look at or address.
No, I think it's, I think definitely that's a great start. And as you know, there's been some code enforcement a little bit, but it was more just educational to those vendors, which is also great. And we appreciate, I think it's just, like you said, just kind of the, maybe the lack of consistency, and it's not on, you know, anyone's fault. It's just kind of, you know, the vendors are going where the people are, and it makes sense. And people are trying to make money. At the same time, you know, there's, I think, why the people that are actually renting space in these buildings downtown are angry, because one, you know, they're renting at a high, really high rate, and then two, it's kind of a nuisance in a way for some of them, which I can definitely understand. So it's always just difficult, like trying to explain, you know, the different state regulations and what the city can and can't do. And I think it's easy for people to point the finger at Park Tucson to do something, because for the most part, these vendors are in the parking spaces, and then they bleed over onto the sidewalk. So I do have a couple clarifying questions. I know that, so you mentioned that Congress, you guys don't allow people to reserve the meters for food trucks or food vendors on Congress. And that's more just like, so like say someone rented the space adjacent to the Ronstadt Center that's actually along 6th Avenue, but it's right off Congress, and reserving those meters, it's just in that food vendor's best interest, because basically it guarantees that space, right, rather than them not doing it, because it's legal for them to go anywhere, even Congress. The we're just saying that you can't reserve on Congress because you won't put hoods on those, and you know, like, okay, so that was one. It's just, I'm trying to clarify, because I get a lot of questions from businesses. So basically putting a meter in spaces that you guys do allow basically just guarantees that food vendor the space, because they're hooded and oftentimes they're coned off.
Yes, that sounds right. JR, do you have anything to add to that? That sounds exactly right to me.
Yeah, that's why we do it.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
and then
yeah.
And then my other question, so a lot of these vendors, they're oftentimes, I mean, I'm not sure what's the definition of a vehicle, but a lot of these are just carts where they're being towed into the space. The actual vehicle that towed it there is relocated around the corner in another convenient spot where they can then pick it up at a later time. So, you know, what is allowed to be in that vehicular parking space? Because if we don't allow, you know, non-motorized bikes to go in those spaces. Yes, exactly.
Yep.
And then just all that set up, the generator, like that, it's got to be, and then those like tanks, it's just kind of scary with it being right on the road too, like safety issues. So, and I know you guys know all this stuff, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but yeah, I and I know also you all don't have, one, in the first place, a ton of enforcement staff. You're trying to hire more people, but two, they may not be working that late on a Friday and Saturday night in order to even enforce that type of thing. So I guess if you guys can't enforce maybe these food carts, not these aren't food trucks, like these food carts, or even sometimes I'll just see a guy with like a tent set up in the parking space. There's no vehicle at all. And then tables and chairs on the sidewalk and, you know, his setup and the space. So I guess, you know, can code enforcement, like if you all can't enforce the vehicle part, like, hey, this isn't a vehicle, or maybe it's license. Yeah, there's a license plate on it though.
Yeah, so JR and I were talking about this. JR, we can enforce that this is a vehicle, right? This is a commercial vehicle.
Right, so as long as it has a plate, it's registered to be on the street, whether it's a trailer like this that's being pulled, it's legal to be there. The only thing with this one's particular, and we're going to have somebody check on this one this weekend, is this trailer is parked the wrong direction on the street. So however they got it there, it's parked the wrong direction. So this one here, we can do something with it, and we'll look this weekend. But when it comes to the normal thing, as long as they have a license plate, it's registered to be on the street, and it's legal to park there. If you're talking about just a, you know, just a tent that's in a parking space, that is not legal, but we cannot enforce that. That would have to be code enforcement to enforce it.
Okay, so I guess my point is if, and I know you're probably already doing this, but if code enforcement can know all those and ins and outs of, from the parking perspective to like, hey, this trailer is good, but that tent down the street is not, you know, we need to do something about that tent, but we can enforce it at Park Tucson. Like, just, and I know you guys are probably all coordinating on that, but I just want to make sure. And then, final question is code enforcement, is that through Environmental Services?
That's through Planning and Development Services.
Okay.
They just about a month ago, they just got moved from Environmental Services back to PDSD.
Okay, gotcha.
Right, EGSD split into two, if I recall, right, JR?
Correct.
With the environmental side and then the general services side, which includes zoning.
Gotcha.
But you bring up a good point, Zach, coordinating between Park Tucson and code enforcement. I'm going to follow this up with another communication and meeting with code enforcement about potentially getting our guys together and looking at specific issues and making sure that whether it's a parking code or a zoning violation, that we address it together and correctly. Just like the last example we saw, you know, like JR said, we are going to look at that, look for this trailer this weekend. We do have enforcement on staff on Friday and Saturday evenings. It's a light staff where I think we're down to one right now due to staffing. And generally the downtown area, now it is part of our boundary, but in the evenings, one of our focus is 24-hour permit areas in residence, because you know the residents are paying for those permits, and we're going to make sure our staff focuses there as well. But you're right, you know, we are spread a little thin in the evening. But when it comes to those, you know, if it has a license plate and it's a vehicle, we can and will issue citation violations for those infractions.
Awesome. No, thank you. And thanks for having that meeting. And if you help facilitate that, that's amazing. Just kind of so we can know how to explain to businesses that ask and what are the rules, what are the regulations. So I'm not just, you know, oh, we're, you know, looking into it, or yeah, I'll send it this way. Just, it's just good to know. So I really appreciate the city support.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It was well attended, this call that we had. And we all sympathize with the plight of the business owners. We reviewed, you know, the types of complaints we're getting, and we completely understand the frustration that must be mounting because of all the food vendors that are popping up. So it's definitely something that the city recognizes. I think the recurring code enforcement visits will help, I hope. But yeah, the education to the folks is paramount. So
awesome. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions about food trucks and peddlers?
Nope.
Oh, we're off the agenda now.
Yeah.
Do we want to end the meeting there? Do you have any other things you want to update? Offline.
Just a quick update on the online meter reservation program. We are working with several businesses who are the typical meter reservation customers, and we've done a soft opening with our system, and I just wanted to remind you guys what that looks like. Real quick here. Sorry. Just find where that went. Sorry, I lost that page. But in any event, we have done the soft opening. We are working with some of the businesses. They have successfully made and paid for reservations online. We're working some kinks out with the software provider. The website isn't perfect, but that's exactly why we did the soft opening, to find the issues and to make corrections. So we're continuing to work with our vendor that's... we're working with IPS. I'm sorry. No, we're working with G-Techna, right, Gia?
No, it's IPS.
IPS, sorry. Yeah, we're working with IPS on that. And Gia, do you have any other tidbits of information you want to share about that experience so far?
It's been okay so far. I mean, I think the biggest concern that I've had from a few customers is there's been some customers that we were invoicing for their meter hooding. And once we go live with this to the public, we will no longer invoice. Any company that wants to hood meters will have to have a credit card and pay online for it. In order to do our meter hooding, we get enough of it that it could actually be a full-time job for one person to do it. It really backs up our staff with having to trace down the money and stuff like that. So the biggest concern I'm having from some people is that we're going to force them to put credit cards, just because we have a few of the hotels and stuff that they don't actually have a company credit card. So I'm working with a couple of them to try to figure out how this is going to work, now that we're going to be requiring a credit card on file to process the payment for these. So that's really the only major hurdle I'm seeing right now.
Great. Thanks, JR. Thanks for working through all the details and all the, you know, the necessities and needs of the businesses. Everybody kind of operates a different way with credit cards or whatnot. So just thank you for working through that. And hopefully we'll be able to go live with a hard opening in the next few weeks. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty much it for our updates.
Okay, awesome. No, I appreciate your guys' time and all that you guys do. And I think the next commission meeting, is it next week or is it the 25th?
The next commission meeting is the 25th.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's correct. The February 25th.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I do have it there. Never mind. Looking at March.
I looked at March. February and March, it's the same dates. They match the same days of the week for the date, so it's a little confusing. I've already come across that. So, like, you know, a Thursday, February 25th is also Thursday, March 25th, so it's kind of confusing.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, cool. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it, and I hope you guys have a nice weekend.
Thanks. Have a great weekend, Zach and Laureen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye, everybody. Bye.